Good morning. Good morning. We're going to call the Committee on Appropriation, the Committee on Appropriation Subcommittee on Finance and Tax to order. Robin, if you could please call the roll, and welcome to our committee.
Thank you. Senator Stargell.
Here.
Senator Garcia. Senator Campbell.
Here.
Senator Perry. Senator Rodriguez.
Here.
Senator Stubbe. Quorum present.
Thank you. And if you could please silence your electronic devices, and anyone wishing to speak before the committee, please fill out an appearance card and give it to the administrative assistant. We are going to start with tab one, which is CS for SB. Actually, no, we're not, because Senator Pasadena was here first. So I'm going to skip over to tab two. but she was waiting. So we're going to go to tab two, CS for SB 620 on disaster preparedness tax exemption by Senator Pasadena.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. Perhaps we should, since the amendment is basically the nuts and bolts of the bill, maybe easier if we did the amendment.
Absolutely. We're going to move to the take up the amendment. It is Amendment 1, barcode 176628, which is timely filed by Senator Pasadena. You are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Basically, this is the annual sales tax exemption for hurricane supplies. And what the amendment does is it creates two periods of exemptions, and that would be June 1st, 2018 through June 7th, 2018, and July 6th through July 12th, 2018. There's a listing in the bill of the items, hurricane supplies, that would be exempt. There's also, and thank you, staff, for working on it. They went through it and carefully took out some that probably aren't hurricane supplies and added some that are. There's also an exemption for loans from the Emergency Bridge Loan Program that was activated by the governor after Hurricane Irma, and Agricultural Economic Development Program exemption. So basically that's the bill and the amendment to the bill.
Are there any questions to the amendment? Okay. Are there any appearance forms for the amendment? Amendment or bill? Okay. All right. Senator Pasadena, you recognize the close on the amendment or debate? Any debate on it? Okay, you can close the amendment. Any objection to the amendment? Okay, seeing none, we'll show the amendment adopted. So now we're back on the bill as amended. And I think you kind of explained that a little bit at the tax package for the hurricane preparedness.
Quick?
Yes, any question?
Why the two periods?
Oh, that was a suggestion of the chair. And I love
great
this.
Idea.
I love great this. Idea. I love that suggestion. It was just very timely.
And how do we, Madam Chair? I mean, what are we going to do to promote it? We're going to get the word out to make sure that the residents of Florida know that there is two periods. Is it going to be incumbent upon the members to go to the media, or is there something that we're going to be doing as a state?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I think that's going to get – most people know that we have been doing this. This is the annual exemption, and I think probably the governor will make that point very clearly, as we all in social media will be tweeting about it as it comes up. I know I did that last year, and I'm sure you all will as well. And, by the way, this is a $4.5 million savings for Florida families, so it's a really big deal.
Any other questions? Okay, we do have two appearance cards. We have Charles Dudley with the Associated Industries of Florida.
Wave our time and support. Thank you, sir.
And we have Leah Courtney with the Florida Tax Watch. Also waving in support. Is there any debate? Yes. I would like to say a few things. We did add an extra week. I think this year was a prime example of the benefits of hurricane preparedness. And we have one that starts at the beginning when hurricane season starts, but that's kind of not when people are thinking about it so much. And we move one a little bit later in the year when sometimes you'll have one that'll maybe start, or you start getting your forecast of the hurricane seasons and that type of thing. Make people aware to go out, because the whole goal of this tax benefit is, yes, to give taxes back to Floridians, but to also help them be hardened their homes and be prepared so there's no loss of life and minimal loss of damages in a situation like the year we just had with the hurricane. So hopefully the increased funding that we put to this year, the more of the benefit to our taxpayers, will help people to actually take it seriously and get prepared. So that was the goal. So with that, Senator Pastor, you're recognized to close.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I'd like to echo your comments. And, you know, we all wait until we get the notice that the hurricane is upon us, and we all go and line up at Home Depot, and there's nothing left. So I think having this, you know, in the back of our mind, we're saving money. People will go ahead and buy the items ahead of time, which will be do two things. It'll be good for our economy because the businesses will be able to sell these items, not in a rush scenario. And it'll also, as Chair Stargell said, it'll be mindful of the problems, and people will go and buy these items. I ask for your favorable support. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Robin, if you could please call the roll on CSSB 620.
Senator Campbell?
Yes.
Senator Perry?
Yes.
Senator Rodriguez?
Yes.
Senator Stube?
Yes.
Senator Garcia?
Yes.
Chair Stargell?
Yes. So by your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Next, we'll move to tab one for CS for SB 272, local tax referendum, by Senator Brandes. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 272 provides that a referendum to adopt or amend a local option discretionary sales tax, which is held at any other date other than the general election, requires the approval of at least 60% of the electorate voting. If the referendum is held on the general election, only a simple majority is required. The bill is effective July 1 of 2018. That's the bill. There's
one.
Any
questions? There is an amendment, but is there any questions at this point? Okay. Do we have any appearance forms on the bill before amendments? Okay. Well, there is actually one amendment. We'll go ahead and move to the amendment without objection. We'll take up the amendment. It is late filed. Is there any objection to the amendment being taken up? Okay. Senator Brandes, you're recognized to explain Amendment 320014.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It provides that a referendum to adopt or amend a local option discretionary sales surtax must be held on a general election and may be adopted by a simple majority. So we basically have removed any option to hold a discretionary sales tax at any other time than a general election. Our goal here really is to make sure that the entire voterate is engaged in this discussion about raising their taxes. And so in discussions with our partners in the House and I think it's just kind of become our belief that the best time to do this is to simplify the entire process and just have it only occur on a general election ballot. That's the bill. I mean, that's the amendment.
Senator Rodriguez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And I just want to ask, with respect to the bill as it is now prior to amendment, my view is that the bill already kind of did that, encouraged those who are seeking voters to approve these, you know, would effectively have already an incentive to go to the general election rather than a lower turnout election. But why this amendment? Why was the structure of the bill already not insufficient to encourage these things to be in a high turnout election?
I think we're continuing to nudge them in the direction of just putting them on the general ballot. I think it's let's just clean it up, make it very simple and straightforward that we're going to only have discretionary sales taxes on general ballots going forward. I think and keeping it at the simple majority level versus having different thresholds and different elections, and you can have a special election and still have a higher threshold. I think it's just simple, straightforward. The electorate is more engaged during the general election generally, and so we thought that was the appropriate time, and we would just simplify the entire process.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Why you don't leave it for the local government discussion to choose when they want to do that? Why it specifically says November election? I have a problem with that. That's the only problem I have.
Okay. I'm happy to answer that, Senator. So what we've seen is occasionally, not often, but occasionally you'll have local governments have special elections where they will put these types of ballot referendums, and these are very low turnout elections. Maybe 7-8% of people in the district may turn out for these elections. So incredibly low turnout. And when you get 50% of 7%, then they get to raise taxes on 100% of the people. We think that's a problem. We think that the better way to do this is to put it on the November general election ballot when you have a very engaged electorate, when everybody's kind of coming to the ballot. You're going to get a higher turnout. You're going to get more people engaged and involved in the discussion, which we think is the right way to do it, versus a surprise, you know, a special election where you have a very a much lower turnout. And we think this just kind of cleans up and streamlines the process. And everybody, the rules are the same for everybody. It's all, everything goes on the general. You have to get 50%. It's simple, it's straightforward, and we provide clarity.
Okay. We do have a couple of appearance cards for questions. Okay. We have Amber Hughes with the Florida League of Cities. Ms. Hughes, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Brandis. Sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to you this morning about this amendment. I represent the Florida League of Cities. So this is the third year that we have tackled this issue, and we had a compromise worked out with the bill sponsors, both Senator Brandis 2 years ago when I believe you sponsored this bill, and the House sponsor, Representative Angolia. Unfortunately, with this amendment, it goes away from that compromise. I recognize that there is a desire to have, as he put it, an engaged electorate, but I would think, just for example, last November, when Penny for Pinellas was on the ballot, it passed by 82%. It was at a time where there was a very contentious mayoral race happening with St. Pete. So I think at the end of the day, to kind of go to what Senator Campbell said, is that each individual community knows their electorate and knows when things are going to get lost on the ballot. And so to have that opportunity, to have one other option, and we agreed to a 60% approval for passage, but to have one other option besides the state general election is something that we need. Unfortunately, if this amendment, we're opposed to the amendment, and if the amendment is adopted, we are also opposed to the bill. So I'd be happy to take any questions, Madam Chair.
Any questions?
Madam Chair. What was the compromise that?
Madam Chair, thank you. The compromise was if a surtax was allowed, what the referendum was at a general election, it would be a simple majority for passage, a state general election. So that would be when the state has their elections. If it was not on that election, the local government would have the option to do it at a primary election with a 60% approval for passage. And just those two options.
And the current bill just says it has to be on the...
The current, Madam Chair, the current bill, the underlying bill right now, actually does allow for a special election, which, of course, we do like as well, because that Penny for Pinellas was technically a special election, but we did agree to the general election and the primary election only. So, okay. Thank you.
We have Laura Yeomans with the Florida Association of Counties.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Brandis. I also did not have an opportunity to speak with him this morning. We would like to voice our opposition to this amendment. However, we were also part of the compromise from the past 2 years, and it was, in our understanding of the agreement, was similar to the League of Cities. We agreed, and our members were on board with a 60% threshold at non-general elections. We think that acknowledged the low turnout, increased the threshold for the vote, but it's important to allow those referendum at non-generals, because we all know the problem with ballot fatigue on the general elections, and we think that the opportunity to put them on non-general allows for better information and better informed voters on the issues before them at both elections. So I would just like to oppose this amendment at this time. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay. And finally, we have Devin West with Broward County. Waves in opposition. So is there debate on this amendment? Okay. Seeing none, Senator Brandis, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you. Look, I think it's pretty clear where the concerns are. My concern is that we have an engaged and informed electorate, that we do this on the general, that we have a very simple, straightforward process here in the state, and that if we're going to raise taxes on Floridians, that there is only the one time during the year that we're going to have that discussion, and we're going to have it at the heightened time when we have the most engaged electorate involved and engaged in that discussion.
All right. All in favor of the amendment say yay. Yay. Opposed, nay. Okay, so the amendment is adopted. So we're back on the bill as amended. Is there? Okay, we have one appearance card to the bill, which is Chris Hudson from the Americans for Prosperity.
Americans for Prosperity
waive
and support.
So they waive and support. Is there any debate on the bill as amended? Senator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for bringing this bill forward and working on it. I know it's not an easy issue. I absolutely support the spirit of the bill in terms of, having a larger turnout to address these concerns. I mean, it is a real problem. There has been abuse in my part of the state, especially, of these referendum on very low turnout elections. But I do think the bill, I'll be supporting it today, but I do think the bill as amended goes a little too far. I don't know if it's the bill as it was originally crafted. I think some of the speakers who came forward, there should be some sort of safety valve, and I don't know what that might be without getting sort of too cute. But to try to say that there are those places in the state where there is very high participation in non-general turnout, and I don't know if it's a question of tying it to the percentage of the electorate that turns out or something like that. That might be too far. But I thought the bill as you originally had it, where, there's a higher threshold to cross, I thought at least communicated that, and I thought that would avoid the incentive of having an April election in a non-election year, which does happen in certain cities. Turnout, as you say, is through the floor, which means special interests can easily game that election, which is what has occurred or potentially has occurred. So I support the bill, but I'd love to try to see if there's some other way to create a safety valve for those jurisdictions that do have high turnout in non-general elections.
Senator Garcia.
And thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate you bringing this bill forward. At the end of the day, look, I understand why our friends in the League of Cities, in the League of Counties, and Broward County and so forth are in opposition to the bill. I get the concept of ballot fatigue. When you get down to the end of the ballot, right, there's sometimes you have these folks that, undervotes and so forth, and maybe that's something you can try to work on as it goes through the process. But at the end of the day, when it comes to taxing fatigue, that happens a lot to our taxpayers. And I've seen it back in our local jurisdiction where a lot of elections are put in April or in the summer because they know they cannot get the votes in a general election or an election where you have more people voting. At the end of the day, anything that we can do to encourage more people to take part in their government, I think, is what we should be doing. I think this bill tries to address those issues. So I'm going to support the bill, and I ask if you can try to figure out a way that we can maybe work on it. But at the end of the day, we do have to take care of the voters, and I'm just tired of seeing these special elections that pop up in the middle of the summer. And it's not just about taxing, right? It's about ordinances and so forth. And then you really, like you said, you have 7% of the electorate making a decision for 100% of the electorate when a whole bunch of people may be traveling, they may not be in town and so forth. So I like the bill, I like the concept, and if we can continue to work on it, it'll be great. But at the end of the day, our number one responsibility is to protect the taxpayers. So I'm going to go ahead and support the bill today.
Thank you. And I also echo those comments. I actually support this bill a lot, knowing that voting is one of the most precious rights we have. And I tend to not fall into the category of people who want to just continue to make it easier and take it more lightly. I appreciate ballot fatigue as well. But in the end, many people don't focus all the time because they are busy until the general election. And that's when they really put all their efforts in to take seriously what they're doing and the magnitude of their decisions. So I think that happens at the general election. So I appreciate what you're doing. I think this is the right way to go and to emphasize the importance of our voting and what it means to the people that whichever way we're voting for or against. So thank you for bringing this measure forward. So with that, Senator Brandes, you're recognized to close.
Yes, I'll move close.
Okay, so Robin, could you please call the roll on CS for SB 272?
Senator Campbell?
Yes.
Senator Perry?
Yes.
Senator Rodriguez?
Yes.
Senator Stube?
Yes.
Senator Garcia?
Yes.
Chair Stargell?
Yes. By your vote, CS for SB 272 is reported favorably.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So being one of the most efficient committees in the Senate, we get in and out really quickly, and we don't actually meet often. So I appreciate the members coming together and thinking about what we're doing today. And with that, no other business before us. Senator Perry moves we adjourn.